Okay. I would like to bring the meeting back to order again. With that, we're moving on to unfinished business. Item A under unfinished business is ordinance 2026-05. An ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2026 budget for known changes. This is the second reading. And there's three items under this that we're being asked to pass. First has to do with Secure Rural Schools revenue. Federal government approved the Secure Rules Reauthorization Act of 2025 on December 18th, 2025. The borough received its fiscal year 24 payment on March 23rd, 2026 in the amount of $722,484 for Title I schools and roads. And there's a letter attached, a letter from the state of Alaska is attached. Second item on here is Elderly Housing Fund 470. Funds are provided for proposed for replacement of the elderly housing 44-year-old dry sprinkler system valve and air compressor, which has exceeded their useful life. Details, again, are included in the packet. Third item is Fire Department to complete the funding of the new scuba tanks and masks to replace expiring equipment. This expenditure is authorized by Resolution 2026-05, approved March 16th, 2026. And again, the resolution is attached to the package. And I missed one, but the last item is the Wastewater Outfall Repair Project, Fund 764. This adds $275,000 in loan funding from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, as well as $275,000 expense for the project. Ordinance 2026 was approved in the first reading. Do I have a motion to approve the changes in budget?
Make a motion to approve ordinance 2026-05 as presented.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Member Newman and seconded by Member Valentine. Discussion. Hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. That passes unanimously, 6-0. I'm going to move on then to new business. Under new business, we have three items, and I'll start here with item A, Resolution 2026-11. Resolution approving the lease of a parcel of borough tidelands to American Cruise Line, Inc. If approved, this resolution will authorize the lease of borough tidelands at the end of Dock Street to American Cruise Lines, Inc. for construction and use of a mooring float and gangway to support cruise vessel operations. Do I have a motion to approve the resolution for a lease to American Cruise Lines?
So moved. Second.
Okay. It's been moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Newman. Discussion. Okay, Member Mucci?
Well, I don't know about discussion, but maybe somebody could walk us through where we are at this point and kind of bring us up to speed. I mean, I can read this, but just for the folks at home, just kind of give us a brief thumbnail on where we are, maybe.
Okay, yeah, would the manager?
It's basically a lease. We started the project off with a purchase approach. It became clear that it was better for ACL and works equally well for the borough to just lease them a piece of property. That's where we're headed. Voting on this approves the resolution that authorizes the lease of the borough tidelands, and you know, and then they'll go through the process of ACL will have to provide plans of what they want to do, and the borough will work through with that with the harbor primarily, and hopefully we'll have this in place and ready to go for the 2027 season.
Okay, Member Valentine.
Thank you. And then just to, again, for the public at home, reading this lease agreement, there's a lot of safeguards behind this. Like, borough is not liable for any maintenance on this dock, correct?
Correct.
Okay. They also are. What else was there? Anyways, it just seems like there's a lot of safeguards in here that, protect the borough from a lot of issues that could have come up.
Myself and then our borough attorney and then Glow at the end worked hard on this for a long time. And a lot of those safeguards are there for a reason. So, for example, we wanted it very clear we're not responsible for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it sounds self-evident, it's their lease, but we wanted it spelled out. And so there's a lot of things in there like that. You know, we want them to work with their new neighbors, you know, Petro, Coast Guard, and work out deals. And you know, it's up to them to kind of work, be a nice neighbor. And we've got considerations from them. They've said they will. And got an email from Jason Werner from Petro, the chief financial officer, this morning that he's been in touch with ACL already. And they look like they have an ability to work through that. And their biggest concern was the fuel barge when it comes in. And ACL said we can move our boats if we need to. The fuel company says, no, it's not going to be a problem for us. We'll see. My guess is it's like every season we have to do it. We have to move things around at times. So,
and that'll be on Glow for moving
absolutely
things around.
She's very good at it. And,
a mediator.
You know, she works with everybody. She becomes like a mediator. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thank you.
Any other questions? Member Schwartz?
Yeah, and there were some concerns a year ago from the Coast Guard that got ironed out as well.
Okay. Member Martin?
Sorry if I didn't prep you that I was going to ask this, but Steve, and if you have to get back to me later, that's fine. But is there any difference between what we're doing with Petro out there leasing to them for their fuel dock than what we'd be doing with ACL?
I'm not sure I understand the question, so I'll start talking and see if I can come around to it. So they're both leases, and both of the leases have their own sets of rules related to how the user uses it. So Petro has a lease of that facility, and they, you know, there's a lease, probably doesn't have as many safeguards as the ACL lease does, but talks about what they can and can't do, and also talks about what the borough will do and can't do so that we can all be good neighbors and work together. The ACL lease is very similar in the sense that it's, you know, a lease with all the terms of a normal borough lease with also some of those safeguards in there talking about making sure, we're not going to be responsible for maintenance and making sure that everybody understands that. So did I get anywhere close to what the question is?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I'm concerned about maintenance costs and liability, and do you feel like those are addressed adequately and it's been working for us?
Through the mayor, I do. You know, it's a love-hate relationship with everybody when you're that close to each other. And so, meaning it pays everyone to work together, and I've found, you know, Glow does this every year. She works with Petro. She works with the Coast Guard. She works with cruise ships. And, you know, and by the way, after all that working with these folks, we have to change at the last minute routinely. Something changes. So I think that will continue. At least I hope it will. And, you know, basically it's to everyone's benefit to work together. If there's a conflict between a cruise ship and the fuel barge, for example, it's everyone's benefit to work through that, make sure everybody's safe and we can work around it. And I think that's been done in the past, and I think it'll continue to be done.
Any other questions for? Okay. Would the clerk please call the roll on approving the lease for American Cruise Lines?
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
That lease is approved 6-0. Moving on, there's a joint resolution supporting responsible economic development and coordinated utilization of the Tai'i hydroelectric resources. The Petersburg Borough Resolution Number 2026-12 and Borough City of Wrangell Resolution Number 5-26-2046. Do I have a motion to approve the resolution supporting responsible economic development?
So move.
Second.
Been moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Martin. Discussion. And I guess with that, before that, Steve, would you like to give us a summary of what we're asking or being asked to do here?
This isn't the one. Carl's better able to explain what we're trying to do here with this resolution.
Okay. Carl.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. So this joint resolution came to us from the city and borough of Wrangell. As I mentioned previously tonight, you know, they have numerous economic development projects coming up, and they were became aware of our potential data center project. And knowing that we share the Tyee Lake power output, brought this joint resolution forward. At its basis, they want to work together to make sure everybody is aware of projects in both communities that could draw from that power source, and work together. And where the rubber really meets the road is that if one of the communities brings on a project that will exceed the maximum capacity of Tyee Lake at some point, then that community should commit to providing that power that is needed for that project and not rely on the other community to provide that power. So that's kind of reading between the lines. I hope it's clear in the text of the resolution that is the goal, but at its basis, that is what it is about, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Carl? Member Meachie?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to make sure I understand that. So let's say Petersburg wanted to put a data center out the road and it was going to use 4 or 5 kW. And so we would run that project by Wrangell to make sure that it wasn't going to impact the electricity or the power generation coming off Tyee. I'm just trying to understand it.
So Petersburg would let the Wrangell Assembly know that there was a large project in the works that is likely to exceed the capacity of Tyee Lake, and that Petersburg is making a decision, a conscious decision, whether or not to support that project with our own diesel generation or some other generation. We're not relying on Wrangell to run diesel generation to support our data center project, the hypothetical that you put forward.
And through the mayor, we're not asking them permission, and neither are they going to ask us permission. It's sure. Just a mutual sharing of information to be prepared.
So once this resolution is passed, then we'll have a better understanding of what Wrangell is trying to do with their data center project that they have going on, or whatever status it's in at this point.
That is correct.
Thank you.
I would add one more part to that is that Wrangell now is also considering a shipyard over there. They're also looking, they would like to bring in one of the new Coast Guard ships over there and so forth. So they also have a potential of significantly increasing their power uses. And this has advantages to us from the standpoint that if you're talking about diesel generation source, they have to be able to support that, not us. And so that makes a big difference. And also to talk about it up front, that's the whole purpose of this.
Sure. You know, I think it might be an interesting idea if possibly that Coast Guard cutter was here at the Ocean Beauty Dock. I mean,
yes.
Who knows?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Member Martin?
I wanted to ask, I saw the term firm power, firm, like 10 times, and I was going to ask, could you define our firm power capacity?
That's meaning the power that we require from SEPA on a daily, monthly, annual basis. It's the power that we can draw from that source. It's a term that's used regularly in the power sales agreement.
Now I know less than I thought. It's not something they have. It's something we want.
So through the mayor, it's basically saying Tyee has an operational plan. Given the lake level, if it's all the way full, that whole 24 megs is available to Petersburg and Wrangell. If the water is down in a given time of year, a level where they say, okay, we can only sell 20 megawatts to ensure that we don't run out of water. So that firm power plays into that level. So if the level is 20 megawatts and Petersburg uses 12 and Wrangell uses 9, Petersburg is going to generate 2 megawatts with the diesel.
Thanks.
Because we're over that point. Does that make sense?
That totally clear.
You're the mayor. I'm going to try this. So one of the challenges we have is because these two communities share TIE, and then we also have our own generation capability, but we're not really talking about that at this point. And we're trying to split the use of that power up in a way that's fair to both communities. Wrangell's smaller than we are, so therefore, you know, they get a certain amount of power. We're bigger, we get a little bit more than that. But if we add to our mix, so we get, you know, we decide to open a General Motors car manufacturing location here.
Perfect.
That would significantly exceed what power we're owed through the power sales agreement. Therefore, anything above that firm number, the borough's going to, Petersburg, our responsibility to figure out where that power is going to come from. Are we going to buy more diesel generators? Are we going to create another hydro plant somewhere? It's a way to kind of say who's responsible for what on these economic development projects without coming in. We can't tell Wrangell no, and they can't tell us no, but there is ramifications if we get to that point. And guys, that was any better?
Yeah. If it's so firm, could you tell me what it is, what number the number is, or is it more soft than that?
So through the mayor, so it's, like I said, at the certain levels, they have this much capacity, anywhere from 19 to 24 megs capacity is what we see. So what we're saying, there's nothing written in the power sales agreement that says 50% of it's Petersburg and 50% of that is Wrangell's. So what we're saying is that 20, 21, 22, whatever SEPA says is available at the given lake level, Petersburg can have half and Wrangell can have half. And if either community goes over that half and causes that level to go above the set point, say 20 megs, then that community, that's the firm power available is 10 megs and 10 megs. We went above it. And if we need to do generation, it's on us because we're above that half. That firm is not a firm number. It's a firm number given the lake level in their operation plans. Does that help?
Maybe. Okay, sweet.
We're going to need to talk about this. I think I can explain a little more of that, but later. Any other questions for Carl? Okay, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that resolution passes 6-0. Next item on there is consideration of fuel adjustment charge for annual SEPA maintenance shutdown, and which occurred May and June of 2026. Utility department requests the assembly approval of a fuel adjustment charge for all kilowatt hours billed between May 27th and June 27th, 2026, related to increased diesel generation during the annual SEPA maintenance shutdown. Pursuant to PMC 14.16.720, the adjustment would be calculated using a base diesel fuel charge of $3.87 per gallon, consistent with the fiscal year 2026 budget, to recover unanticipated fuel costs while lessening the impact on customers. A memo from Director Harbor with more information is attached to this assembly package. Do I have a motion to approve fuel adjustment charge for May, June 2026?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
And moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Valentine. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you. I'll probably ask the same question I asked on January 12th. Do we know what that amount will be? I mean, like, on January 12th, it was like $24,000.
So through the mayor,
sure.
No, there's no possible way to know that. If I could know that, I'd be on my...
Sure.
My,
okay. And so that $3.87 a gallon, that's based on today's price per diesel. That is the
so
locked-in price.
So that's the issue through the mayor is... So next year, 2027, our budget for diesel fuel was decided a week ago,
okay.
2 weeks ago. And just like the price today is $5.17 when I checked, we budgeted it on the current price plus a little percentage bump last year.
And one more question. Will the other communities be paying this surcharge as well?
Yes, they will. So... Ketchikan has a way to do it. They figured a little different than us, and they spread that charge out over 6 months. Wrangell does something a lot more similar to us. And then Golden Valley, which is not related to us, but part of the state, and it's principally how it goes, they're currently paying every month this winter nearly 12.8 cents surcharge on top of their 30% because they have to run diesel. So it's pretty industry standard.
And if we are creative with our sales agreement with GreenSpark, there is the possibility of that maybe going away.
Through the mayor, the ordinance as it stands now allows us to collect the difference between like $2.40 and what we pay. But like I said, I think the spirit of that ordinance was to make up the difference between what we budgeted and what the actual is. So that's why in this I'm asking for the difference of $3.87 to what it's going to be when we get. That'll take some pressure off the ratepayers. It'll cut it from roughly 2.5 cents to approximately 1.2. I mean, that's a fluid number because when I checked, when I wrote this memo, it was 5.08. And today when I called, it was 5.17 a gallon. And then the utility will absorb the difference because basically, we budgeted for $3.87.
Thank you.
Any other questions for? Okay, would the clerk please call the roll on the fuel surcharge?
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Okay, the motion on the fuel adjustment surcharge passes 6-0. With that, I'll move on. The communications are attached to the package and can be seen online. Move on to assembly discussion items. Community preparedness for spring bear activity. Discussion item was asked for by Member Mucci.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With the skunk cabbage out and the snow gone, I'm just curious what the plan is for when the police department or whoever starts getting the phone calls about, hey, the bears are knocking over my garbage cans. Just figured I'd ask.
Mayor, I will let the chief answer this question, but my first response is let them know to call Fish and Game.
Okay.
I'm only half joking.
Sure.
Because Fish and Game is responsible for the behavior of bears, and it's something that we're going to make a point of because we don't want to get in a fight with them over how we treat bears.
So sure.
Anyway, Jim, you want to speak to the plan that we almost had?
So we tried earlier, Frank Robbins was trying to get their person down to do a community presentation. He wanted them early this spring, so they said that they could come in June, middle of June. He said, no, it needs to be earlier. So she bumped it forward like 5 more days or something. So it's still in June. There was some talk about running ads in the paper. I'm not sure where that's at. They have a whole division that does that kind of stuff. Petersburg submitted stuff to Defenders of Wildlife for garbage cans and asked because they said that they could possibly help us out with a grant. So we submitted the stuff. I'm not sure where we're at in that process, or if it's even amounted to anything once they saw the price tag. So we haven't got calls yet, but the Baylor does give out the bear straps, and so I would encourage people to start using them because they should start showing up anytime. And hopefully they won't show up in town.
Member Valentine?
Thank you. Chief Kerr, who would be the person to contact with the bear defender? Because I remember listening to that presentation, and they were, seemed very happy to save bears and give us trash cans.
Yeah, so Isabel Grant, I believe that was her name. And so we submitted the stuff to her, and I'm not sure what that process is. She started dealing with Aaron on it.
With Aaron?
Yeah, because okay. I don't... Because they started asking for detailed numbers of cans, and I don't have any of that.
Yeah, and if I may, so, and last year we did buy some, I'll call them bear-proof containers, a small number to test out. By the time we got the cans here, bears had already gone to sleep, so we didn't get a real chance to test any of those out to see how well they worked. We were looking at those primarily for apartment complexes in the school, but I think Aaron and sanitation got a few of the individual type containers. That wasn't enough time to test them, so we'll get more information on that this year. Hopefully not. Maybe the bears will all stay away.
Sure.
But anyway.
Member Valentine.
Another continuing thought that I had when this first got brought up during the fall when we had all the bear issues was that I think. And again, we're not voting on anything. I'm just talking out loud. But I think that there's a lot of nonprofits in this town that I think that the borough could probably help with put out to, like, quote unquote, bid to maybe have those nonprofits also do whatever wellness check that they do to walk the neighborhoods and maybe hand out flyers to remind people. Because as much as I'd like to say, you know, reminders post on this door over here and this door over here and put it in the paper, I think it says something else to where it's like, hey, we came to your door as best we could. Here's a flyer. Hey, they're coming around the corner. Really do your due diligence. And I think that that is a good way to go about just as a reminder that we could do kind of every year. I don't think it's super like a big cost sump or anything. So anyways, that's just my thought.
Member Mucci?
Yeah, thank you. I think we have two of those garbage cans up at Public Works. I think they got sent to us for free just to try and, but the issue is the garbage cans are so expensive and the freight cost is just unbelievably expensive to get them here. So there's gotta be something creative done. And I'm hoping that, you know, I think the baler is open for, you can dump your garbage for free up there. And I'm hoping that we can at least get some PSAs on the radio to tell people that it's coming and do what they can to, because there's nothing more fun than going out and picking up garbage can or garbage bags full of diapers and all the rest of the junk that's out there. So
if I may, through the mayor, that's what Fish and Game said they would do.
Sure.
And unfortunately has not happened. We really want to work closely with them. There were some disagreements between, you know, my staff and me and Fish and Game. I mean, they didn't want us to shoot bears. I was a little more, Jim, we have a problem. Let's get rid of the problem. So we have to work through that. And, you know, any PSAs that we do, we want to make sure we're putting stuff out that Fish and Game approves of and that they're okay with. So, I've asked Jim, and he was already doing it, continuing to work with Fish and Game and the biologist to try to come up with, you know, how do they want us to handle it? It is their issue, and they get to call the shots. If they're not comfortable shooting bears, are they comfortable putting more traps out? And, you know, we have to hear from them on what they're comfortable doing, and we have not yet heard that.
Member Newman?
How expensive are these bear-proof garbage cans?
I don't know. They were purchased at the very end of the season, and Aaron said they were real expensive, but I don't know what the number was.
Yeah. I mean, because it's a, if we can't help people secure their garbage, because most people, like, I put my garbage in my garage. The greater majority of people don't have a garage they can put their garbage can in. So, you know, by the time it gets to the point where there's a problem with the bear, and then between the breakdown between Fish and Game and the police department, you know, that's the aftermath of the situation. When really the situation that we, you know, the level of control we have is putting garbage cans out that a bear can't get into. So, you know, that's, I don't know what we got to do to facilitate that,
But if we're not successful on that, we are going to continue to have bear problems.
Well, and if I could, I mean, I don't have a garage. I'm careful about my garbage, and I use the bear straps the sanitation is giving away for free. And I had my garbage can turned over several times. Nothing got out of it. So I would continue to encourage people to use the tools we currently have, which is use the bear straps, be careful of what you put out in your garbage until garbage day. I think a lot of those things actually work well. Fish and Game wanted us to start ticketing people. That was the big conversation. If we have to go down that route, we will. But that's not our preferred.
Yeah, to me, that seems like a negative approach to people behavior. You know, the bear's behavior is to eat food. People's behavior is to not take care of the garbage.
So answering your question on the bear-proof cans, somebody really smarter than me knew what it was. It was $300 per can.
Okay.
We have like 150.
So because I have a garage, I put my garbage can in a garage. I am not familiar with the straps that you're talking about. So these straps are free to the public?
Yes.
And why?
And we've been advertising that for several years now.
And nobody has taken advantage of that.
Yeah.
Not nobody, but when it comes to bear season, I spend a lot of time driving around neighborhoods looking to see what gets turned upside down and whether or not they had some form of restraint. I can tell you, most of the time, the garbage cans that have been turned over have nothing, no bear straps.
My next idea here is, doesn't the borough actually own the garbage can?
We do.
Why can't we just drive around and put a bunch of straps on the garbage cans? If we have a problem, let's go put some straps on.
We can.
We own the can.
It's people, time. Yeah. But I mean, I thought maybe an alternative. I mean,
if you have straps on there, you got to use them,
and that's kind of
because if enough bears come successfully get food, they're going to be returned,
yep,
and then you have a habituated animal that has a problem.
Yeah.
But if they are not successful, then they continue on, and maybe they wander back out off the island or off out the road and.
And I agree with you. I also agree with my earlier statement, which is this is a fish and game problem. I mean, we get this bulk of it, but it's I understand the state is tight on money, but this is their job.
Well, the state manages the resource.
Yes.
But when they come into town, it becomes our problem.
Not really, because when we tried to take care of that last year, we got some hell from fish and game.
Well, there's where we need to work on the relationship between the state and the borough, and those are conversations we need to have.
Chief, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I kind of want to, like, I know there's been a lot of talk about fish and game, but just to say, like, we've been working very well with them lately. Just so that we take any confusion out of that. We've been working fish and game and the troopers as a group effort. Fish and game did authorize. We had some animals, like what Assemblymember Newman talked about, it habituated animals. We worked with fish and game directly on those. They authorized us to take those animals out of the community. So we did that, got to the point where they said, like, we should probably think about stopping that. So we took quite a few out, and the ones that we took out of the community were the ones, a lot of them were defeating the bear straps. So they learned and they adapted to the new measures. They were breaking open cans. The bear straps did work. They would just destroy the complete garbage can. And so we actually worked with Fish and Game. They authorized us to do that. So the whole goal this year, we tried to get it done before, but it's not happening the way we want it to. Nothing ever does. So that's why this year we're working on an education campaign to try and get people educated before that peak season does come, because it goes back and forth. It's a bear problem. It's a people problem. It's everyone's problem. I mean, if your neighbor's bringing bears in, your kids are out, you don't want that. So if we can, to me, people are easier to train than bears are. So that's why we're going to try this education program, get this thing going, and seeing if we can't reduce the number of bear issues that we have for this coming year.
Member Valentine.
Sweet. My last thing I'm going to say, and then hopefully we'll be done soon. But I think, I mean, we have the people at the paper, KFSK. I think it'd be, for everybody's sake, like, habit building is really tough, especially for just anybody, right? I'm going to forget to put my food not out, and just because I haven't seen a bear all week, and then all of a sudden they do come, right? So habit building is really tough. So maybe we can, as a borough, because we are working with the state, and he said he wants to do an educational thing, maybe we can make bear week, like shark week, like discovery. But I mean, we laugh, but I mean, if we go so hard in the paint, you know, through KFSK, through us, and just make this a thing every single year, 1 week, where it's bear, hey, come and bring, or like put the hat on your can, and then the guys that are in the borough is going to come, they have straps ready, they could just zip it on because you've said, hey, I would like to put a bear strap. And then it's every single year, it's like just bear week. Why not? I mean, that's basically what we're talking about.
Hater.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
There's some people.
Yeah,
I saw some in Juneau.
Oh, Aaron, if you have.
I got a plug for Public Works just because I'm familiar with the program. So they do track how many bear straps they give out. You actually, you know, they take some, there's statistical data on that. So if anyone's interested on that, they do have that down at Public Works. But also, they do allow you, I don't know how many times they allow you to do it, but if you do miss garbage day or you do need to take your can up early, because there's things in there that might be a bear attractant, they also do allow you to take your can up and dump it at the baler if need be. That I know that they do that. I don't know how many times you can get away with doing that, but I've never heard of a limit, so.
Martin.
So, thanks, Aaron. I have the bear straps. I'm pretty sure they worked one time last year, but this year, my can took one too many squeezes from the truck this winter, and I wondered, what does a can cost, and do you think it's worth upgrading to a fresh can when they get, because I think a lot of them are getting a little beat up from the years of squeezing. Anyone know the cost of the normal can?
Less than $300.
Yeah, yeah. But if it's half that, you know, then you're upgrading anyway. So.
But just make it clear, if your can is starting to have damage, you just have to call Public Works and tell them they'll deliver you a new can and take the old one away.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no, it's common.
Thanks.
You know.
Other comments from assembly members? Okay, I'm going to move on then for assembly member comments. Anything assembly members want to comment on? Hearing none, do any assembly members have recognitions?
I'd like to recognize Chris Wise, who began her service at the Petersburg Public Library in 1986 and will be retiring at the end of this month, marking 40 years of dedicated service. Her commitment and contributions have made a lasting impact on our library and community, and we all thank Chris and wish her all the best in her well-earned retirement.
Thank you. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say thank you and recognize Chief Kerr, Sergeant Aris, and the police department, and the fire, EMS, and search and rescue volunteers. Last Wednesday, I had the opportunity to observe a training exercise up at the elementary school. It's something I'm interested in, and it was very interesting to me to watch all the people who volunteer in this community and the professionals involved, how dedicated they are to spending part of their workday up there training for emergencies that could happen in an elementary school. And I just wanted to say thank you to everybody who was involved. It was a real worthwhile couple hours for me to go up there and see what goes on. So just wanted to say thank you.
Okay. Any other? I have one here. I was in the pilot last week, and I know you folks the assembly talked about it last week, was with Katie Pearson, Sarah Wright, and Michael Burnett, sweeping the EMS regional pediatric CPR competition. If anybody is a CPR, you know, trying to do CPR, it's pretty hard. So I think from an assembly standpoint, I think we can all say thank you for all your work from EMS and those folks. And with that, Member Martin?
One recognition. So the Lutheran Church had a big rummage sale, raised $11,000 with the rummage sale and soup and bread and cookies. And they're going to split it four ways, I think, if I remember right. Humanity in Progress, Monday night dinners, Salvation Army Food Bank, and Salvation Army turkeys. So four things, each get $2,700. So I thought that was pretty cool. A lot of people worked really hard on that.
Thank you. Any other recognitions? With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.